From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting. Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, will be here to take a look at the cash grain market. And then both of them will come back to record Commodity Week around 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll post that to the website this evening, and you can hear it on our home station tomorrow over the weekend on many of these radio stations. Our other panelists for that show include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. That's Commodity Week, but we're in the midst of the Closing Market Report right now. The rest of our program today will take a look at conservation management and how the economics of it work into your farming operation. Gary Schnitke has been looking into that for the last couple of years. He'll make a presentation during the Farm Assets Conference, and we'll preview it all right here during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit our website, willag.org. Buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. We'll hear more about that a bit later in the program and talk with Gary Schnitke about some of the conservation management economics he and Dale Latz have been looking at. The tickets are just $35. It's a day-long event in Normal, Illinois. You can buy them online at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or 800-898-1065. It's only about 20 days away now, so make sure you get those tickets and purchase them the day. They're just $35, and that includes your meal, the parking, and the breaks for the day. Should be a really good day at the Marriott in Normal. Let's turn our attention now to the marketplace. We're joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. How is your day going there today?
I'm doing just fine, Todd. Everything's beautiful down here in Texas this time of year. This is kind of like September weather for us down here, so we're not quite as cold as what you guys are up north.
That would be kind of nice, I think. So a lovely day there in Waco, Texas. Not a bad day in Chicago if you were wanting the markets to move a bit higher, and usually farmers are of that mind. What was behind the move in the soybeans?
Well, I think you have to just say demand. We had an excellent weekly export sales number here this morning that came in above trade expectations. That kind of went along with last week's sales number above trade expectations. So demand's a key catalyst here, as well as winding down of harvest pressure. We're more than three quarters of the way harvested in soybeans, and soybeans stays nicely fit in a uptrending channel, basically drawn off of the August low point. And you connect the lows that we had there in early October, and then we had, the last week's lows. It just stays confined in a nice uptrending channel. Seasonally, we went higher in September, which we normally go lower. And usually when the market, I just kind of view it when a market can kind of swim upstream, then when the seasonals begin to go its way, then it's easier for the market to move higher. And that's basically been the case. We had the up September. We continued the up move through October. And now we're continuing it here as we begin November. Looking at that January contract, the upper end of that upward channel could take us back into the 1030 area. We would poke out the most recent high, which is somewhere around that 1030, 1035 area. So as long as we stay in this uptrending channel, you would expect to see the market make higher highs and higher lows. And looking at most of the momentum indicators, everything that I follow is in a supportive position for soybeans to move higher. There is a parabolic buy signal just above today's high point. If the market's able to show some follow through either tomorrow or early next week, I think you could probably see soybeans try to ratchet themselves back above the $10 area.
So Informa came out with some numbers today for both soybeans and corn. They did put their estimate for the November crop production report due out next Thursday from USDA, and the WASDE figures will come out as well at 50 bushel, a yield estimate rather, at 49.7 bushels to the acre. There was previously at 50 bushels to the acre. What do you think of that number?
I guess I can't argue with it one way or the other. Most of the yields that I've heard, and I haven't heard that many, but the yields seem to be awfully good. So it wouldn't surprise me that those numbers hold in there. It wouldn't surprise me that if the corn number would actually go higher, and I think FC Stone's survey did indicate that their survey suggested that maybe that corn yield could go up a couple bushels or not. I don't know if that's what everybody's thinking, but at least the yields that I've heard seem to kind of support a pretty strong yield.
Informa actually has pushed their number to 173.4 bushels the acre for corn. They were previously at 170.5, and of course the USDA is currently at 71.8. So that's where those numbers are at this time. Now take me through the corn as you view it. Technically, I take it the pictures there is not as good as it is for the soybeans.
Well, it hasn't changed much. I mean, the picture basically since August, when you look at the December corn contract, we've just been tracking sideways. The bottom end of that trading range has been kind of the 342 area, and the upper end of that range is kind of up into the 360. The thing that I do notice in the corn market is that last week's strength, even though we tailed off toward the tail end, we did trigger a parabolic buy signal, and that is still in place. And we're bumping right up against the 50-day moving average on December corn. Today was resistance at that 50-day moving average. If corn, for some reason, could follow through on today's strength,
of course,
maybe get a close above that 50-day moving average,
out of Waco,
it would
Texas.
Indicate to me that we would at least go back and try the upper side of that trading range, which would be in that 360 area. If for some reason we could pop through that 360, if something would come along to stimulate that, then I think we could add a quick 10 cents to the market. But, you know, if USDA is going to, you know, if these private surveys indicate that we've got yield going up a couple bushels, that means our carryout is probably going to go up a couple bushel or, 150 million bushels. Because I just don't see them increasing demand. I think the demand side of the equation on corn is about as lofty as you can get. They might be able to find an extra 50 million bushels worth of demand. But if we bump up the yield a couple bushels, then we're dealing with another 150 million bushels or so that would go in the carryover.
We'll explore more with you during Commodity Week in about half an hour, and then get that up on the website tonight and hear it on our program tomorrow. Hey, thanks so much. Talk to you soon again.
Very well.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. There is some economic value to conservation just on its own, but does it really pay? That's a question that the agricultural economists here on the Urbana-Champaign campus have been looking at for a couple of years now. Gary Schnittke and Dale Latz have been working with the Illinois corn growers and a series of farmers across East Central Illinois. They'll make a presentation during the Farm Assets Conference the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois. You can find all that information online at farmassetsconference.com and a way to register for the program. But today, Gary is here to talk about what he and Dale have been up to. Gary, why don't you first tell me what you've been doing?
So what we're doing is farmers that have enrolled in precision conservation management agree to input detailed production information about specific fields on their farm. So we know on those fields whether they what time they've planted, what tillage practices they've done, when they've put nitrogen on, and yields and moisture levels, and a whole bunch of production factors. What we're doing with that data is looking at different systems and putting returns and costs to those systems to see if we can find any difference in tillage systems, nitrogen delivery systems, and cover crop systems, and looking at the economics of conservation practices.
Where are the farms? How many of them?
So there's all of these farms are in East Central Illinois. There's roughly 50,000 acres enrolled in the system, maybe even a little bit more than that by now. So quite a few acres in those systems, and they're traditional corn, soybean farms from East Central Illinois.
So 50,000 acres spread over East Central Illinois, a fairly large area. When you collect the data, let's start with one of the data points that producers will be most interested in, nitrogen application. Can you find different economics from fall applied to spring applied?
Yeah, so we're looking at fall applied versus spring applied. One of the things we note is that in the couple 2 years before which we have data, complete data, 2016 and 2015, pretty soon we'll have 2017 data available as well, but 2016 complete data. In those 2 years in which we have data, we see higher yields for those farms that have done spring applied in both of those years. And the economics of it turns out to be actually in favor of the spring applied. That's after you consider the fact that most fall applied nitrogen has some sort of NSERV or something along that line that adds a cost to that system if you do less of that. And you can pay for another application pass in the spring and going for something like pre and post plant applications.
Yeah, so side dress is an important part of this. This isn't just simply anhydrous ammonia applied in the spring.
No, this is all types of nitrogen in the spring, and it would be pre and post plant. And obviously, we see a lot of nitrogen solutions post plant.
Were you able to collect economic information on cover crops?
So cover crops, as far as the economics of it, when we look at the yields from fields with and without cover crops, we don't see a lot of difference between those with and without cover crops. So roughly the same yields. That would say that most of you are probably not going to generate a savings or a return from cover crops to cover the cost associated with putting the cover crop in. However, there are a lot of benefits environmentally to cover crops, one of the big being that it does significantly reduce the nitrogen leaving the field.
And finally, no-tillers generally love their operations, or lack thereof, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Is there reason to think that they're more efficient?
So what we see here is we see in the fields that we have seen slightly lower yields, but overall the economics of it are about the same as more tillage. What we've been surprised about is the amount of tillage that we've seen on fields going into soybeans. We often see in this data 2 to 3 tillage passes, and we don't see any yield advantages to more tillage passes.
Oh, so what you're saying, and for those who are doing conventional till, they're just doing way too much tillage before they plant a soybean crop.
Yeah, what we do, and again, when we look at this data, we know how many tillage passes they've done, what tillage practices they've done, and we don't see any yield difference between one tillage pass or more tillage passes.
Anything else from the data that you found of great interest?
So we're just keeping looking at this, and what we do see is we don't see a lot of advantages to a lot of tillage passes. One tillage pass seems to have the same yield sort of things as more than that from the data that we've looked at.
And you'll show producers this during the Farm Assets Conference, I take it?
Yeah, we'll see that, which is the end of November or the week of Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Any place that producers can go if they want to participate in this process?
So PCM is still taking farmers, Precision Conservation Management. There is a website that PCM.org, or just Google PCM, or contacting Illinois Corn Growers Association will get you in contact.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnutke is an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. He will make a presentation on precision conservation management during this year's Farm Assets Conference. You can register for that event online at farmassetsconference.com or by dialing 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. The Farm Assets Conference is in Normal, Illinois, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. That's the 21st day of November. The cost is just $35. The $35 pays for the parking in the deck next to the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, along with the break and the meal during the day-long event. We'll not only hear from Gary Schnitke, but also we'll take a look at Farm Bill and agricultural policies and discuss the price of corn and soybeans. We'll have 7 analysts on hand with us for that part of the program. And Eric Snodgrass from Agrible will be there to take a look at the weather forecast, the Farm Assets Conference at farmassetsconference.com. Or 800-898-1065. Purchase your tickets today. Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Matt. What you got on your agenda there at the farm this afternoon? Anything fun?
We're just going to be moving some cows around, actually. A little wet to do anything in the field. We only have a little bit of tillage left, so if we don't get any more tillage done, it's not going to be the end of the world by any means.
And do you do fall applied anhydrous too?
Only on our black ground, so we have some to put on. We're going to start putting some on today, but a little heavy yet, so I don't know. If we get too much rain over the weekend, I guess we're going to end up getting burnt, but we've had it where we didn't put it on the fall and able to put it on the spring before, so it's not the end of the world on that either.
What'd you think of today's markets?
Well, I think obviously it's nice to see any time that we get a little bit of an upward movement. It looks like the funds are wanting to cover some of that short position on the grains, especially, whenever you're looking at corn, finally getting a little bit of a nice move, which is pretty good whenever you get 2 straight estimates from the big dogs, above 173. And I don't think that that's probably out of line with some of the late season yields we're hearing, but by all means, if you get those types of yields out in the marketplace, still able to close higher on the day, it's not a bad deal.
That's a good news, especially if that's close to what USDA comes out with next week. It appears that the trade is either not worried about it or they've already built in a larger yield. Which do you think it is?
Oh, I think the trade's probably built in a pretty big yield, first of all. And second of all, whenever you have the soybean market, trending higher, it seems like the corn market's been able to kind of follow suit. So I don't think that that's hurting anything either. But by all means, if you come out with 173.5 next week, I think it's definitely going to have a lid on prices. I don't know that we're going to probe super far to the south, but I don't think that you're going to get a big rally either. We're probably going to look at more of this range-bound boring trade that we've seen for a while now.
Will it hold back soybeans if that's the case?
I don't know. A lot of this is dependent. Some people think actually the bean yield could scale back just a little bit, and I'm not so sure that that won't be the case. A lot of the late season bean yields I'm hearing aren't near as impressive as the early season yields. But I think the big question is, are the early season yields going to be enough to compensate for that? That's probably your $64,000 question, but bottom line on these markets, beans are kind of leading the way at this point. I think corn's probably going to follow suit with whatever beans does, more so than the other way around.
Thanks so much. That, of course, is Matt Bennett. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I rather hope that you've already purchased your Farm Assets Conference tickets, but if not, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, just $35, 800-898-1065. Mike Tenura is now here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago to take a look at the forecast around the planet. Let's begin in South America, and we'll work our way northward. What are conditions like in Argentina and Brazil?
Well, if you look at corn and soybean planting paces, they're both pretty close to normal for this time of the year. So we don't have any alarming types of planting delays taking place at the moment. The one thing that we have been noticing from a weather standpoint is that these northern growing areas where most soybeans are produced and a smaller percentage of first crop corn, those areas have been fairly dry relative to normal over the last 2 weeks and going all the way back into the beginning of October. So we would like to see some rain in these northern growing areas. We had a pretty good rainfall on Tuesday, and the bigger picture suggests that a lot more rain is on the way. That was kind of the harbinger of what's to come. There will be a number of cool fronts moving through central and northern Brazil over the next couple of weeks, and because of that, we're looking for widespread and heavy rain. So this dryness situation that existed for much of the last 4 to 6 weeks is ending, and it's being replaced by a nice pattern for rainfall. And as we know, the more rain we get at this time of the year, generally the better it is for planting, because unlike the U.S., it's difficult to get too wet in Brazil. You just need these rains to get going, and then you can start planting because of their sandy soil that requires frequent rains in order to maintain that soil moisture for planting.
And just as the weather has been changing in South America, it has been doing the same in North America. We've been cool and wet. Is that a pattern change that we can expect to continue?
Well, it looks like it will stay colder than normal as a whole going forward, but we do have some variations in temperatures that will take place. There is a fairly strong system that moves across the central U.S. this weekend, and that will warm things up quite a bit by the time we get into Saturday and Sunday. But that warm-up doesn't last. And probably the most interesting thing about this pattern is if you compare it to last year. Now, from the middle of September until a couple of weeks ago, last year and this year had both been quite a bit warmer than normal over that period. But just in the last couple of weeks, things have taken a big change to the cold side across the central U.S., while last year it stayed mild. Last year was incredibly mild from October all the way through November and into December. And this year has taken a big change, again, to the colder side. And it certainly looks to us like we're going to see a more normal pattern, which means it will be much colder than what we saw 1 year ago in November. So even though it feels chilly outside, and it certainly is colder than normal, I think it feels extra cold simply because we haven't had this happen in a couple of years.
Do you think this will have an impact on livestock production, beef cattle in particular?
Well, we need winter storms to affect the supply of cattle, especially out in the plains. At this point in time, there's nothing to be too concerned about. Even though they will see some large temperature variations over the next 10 to 14 days, we don't see any severe cold snaps on the way. And more importantly than that, it looks to stay fairly dry. There's not a lot of humidity out in the plains today, and it's going to stay that way for a couple of weeks. So every time one of these storm systems passes, it will have a difficult time generating much rain or snow. So dry weather, generally seasonable, and that's not a combination to cause supply disruptions in the plains.
Mike, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He is in Chicago. I'm Todd Gleason.